Jack Frost lives at the North Pole, and he's a gumshoe. He's got that world-weary voice, typical of so many hard-boiled detectives.
My eyes pop open, and despite the darkness and the eggnog pounding away in my head, it's clear as ice crystal that someone's in the igloo with me. I sit up in bed too quickly, and the room spins. I got to lay off the nog. I slip out of bed.
Jack Frost is different from your average literary sleuth. As you just heard, he lives in an igloo, he drinks eggnog, he has magical powers, and he happens to be Santa Claus's adopted son. His story starts one Christmas Eve. Santa's supposed to be out delivering presents, but there's trouble. Somebody kidnapped Santa.
She's scared. What is it, Mom? What's wrong?
He's gone, Jack. Someone took him.
Who, Mom? Someone took who? There's a pause as Mom gathers herself.
Santa, Jack.
That's the premise of The Long Silent Night. Shane Berryhill wrote it. It ought to appeal to mystery fans. It's a mixture of noir and holiday comedy. It's intended for all ages. Crossroad Press recently published it. It's available as an ebook, and the audiobook version is coming out soon.
'Twas the night before Christmas when at the North Pole, bad things were stirring as a storm began to blow.
Shane, welcome to Around and About.
Thanks, Michael. Great to be here. Love Around and About, love WUTC.
I'm glad to hear that. What was your inspiration for this character, a private eye who happens to be Santa Claus's son?
Well, it was a mixture of things, actually. Growing up, and I'm excited about this right now because I have a three-year-old son, I love those Rankin-Bass animated cartoons, for one thing, and just was really dug on those. But from a literature's perspective, The Long Silent Night is kind of a mixture of noir fiction and Frank L. Baum's The Life and Adventure of Santa Claus, if you will. I had a friend of mine who just read it, just described it as Humphrey Bogart meets Rise of the Guardians. So
it's definitely a genre mashup. It's got Christmas elements, but it also, as you said, has noir elements. It's also got some urban fantasy. It's really got a specific mythological background that you obviously spent some time putting together, because it's not just Christmas. He lives in this otherworldly land where every holiday kind of have its own territory.
Absolutely. Jack Frost and company, of course, his base of operations at the novel's outset is at the North Pole. But you quickly find out that the landscape for his tale is much broader and much bigger, and that all the holidays have their own, for lack of a better word, universes that kind of surround a nexus called, which I call Holiday Town, H-Town, as Jack calls it, and of which Father Time is the mayor thereof. And so it was very fun, you know, and to play with in that mythology and just to dream it up.
One of the things I really like in the novel is you've got specific characters who live in each one of these holiday worlds. The Easter bunnies are not these cute little fluffy bunnies.
Not at all.
No.
Not at all. They're the cottontails, the roughest, toughest gangland bunnies, anthropomorphic bunnies you've ever seen. And they give Jack quite the what for during the Long Silent Night.
And you've got, like, Thanksgiving. You've got pilgrims, of course. Halloween Town. I really like that Halloween mythos that you created there.
Yes. Jack, when trying to find out who kidnapped his adoptive father, Santa Claus, everyone begins to suspect the Thanksgiving world. But Jack immediately finds out, well, clues seem to be pointing to the Halloween world. So he visits Necropolis, visits the crime, or at least some lieutenants of the crime lord, Samhain, there. And it's just a good time, and I get to play. It's kind of, once again, it's kind of a mashup. Imagine Count Dracula and Frankenstein as a couple of New York gangsters, you know, forget about it, you know. So it's big fun.
It really is. That's a good word for it. It's a very fun read. It's a fast-paced read. Who is your audience for this?
My audience, Michael, is those young of age and young of heart. And of course, it is somewhat of a Christmas-centric tale, but as we've already discussed, it involves all the holidays year-round. So, you know, it resonates throughout the entire year.
And it really does play with some of the noir cliches. Who are some of your influences in mystery fiction?
Well, absolutely. Leading up to today, you mentioned Ellery Queen magazine. There's also the Philip Marlowe series and the Maltese Falcon and just a lot of the great 1940s, 50s, 60s noir. I love John D. McDonald.
Oh, yeah.
I love John D. McDonald.
Yes.
He's great. He's kind of the Florida noir, if you will. And also Ross McDonald's great. And
The Archer series, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
what made you want to write a Christmas story specifically? Because there are just so many thousands and thousands out there. I've got to imagine it was really difficult coming up with anything original.
Well, like I said, I thought this was an interesting twist on an old tale. I took, who would think to take these holiday archetypes and put them in a noir setting? And, I just threw it together and saw what happened. And the novel basically wrote itself.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
Let's go. Ho, ho, ho. Let's go.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking to Shane Berryhill. His newest novel, The Long Silent Night, was recently published. You've also got a young adult series that's been successful, the Chance Fortune series, about a superhero who doesn't actually have superpowers. Is that it?
Yeah, the Chance Fortune is kind of a twist on the hero monomyth that is most popularized in children's literature today by Harry Potter. And Harry Potter was big at the time I started writing Chance Fortune, and I thought, well, Harry follows that traditional path of somebody being granted divine gifts, being the chosen one. And to be honest with you, that's not been my experience whatsoever. everything of value in life I've gained or accomplished, I've had to fight, kick, and scrape for it. And so I thought, well, what if I took, a hero like Chance and made him someone who has to, make it through just never say die attitude and old-fashioned elbow grease. And there came Chance Fortune. He wants to be a superhero, but he has no powers. But he's not about to let that stop him.
And that's won some praise from the New York Public Library?
Yeah, it is a the first novel, Chance Fortune and the Outlaws, was a New York Public Library's best book for the teenage. It was also a Texas Lone Star Reading List selection, which are both our national reading lists that schools and libraries pick up. Across America. Also, a lot of my target audience, the middle grade for those books, are into the Accelerated Reader Program. AR for me is a double-edged sword. It's great. It gets kids reading, but it's a case of if you're not on the list, do you get left behind?
And
a lot of good books might get left behind that way. So, but whatever gets kids reading, I'm all about.
And that's your first series, right?
Yes, yes.
It's unusual because generally first books don't do that well.
Well, I've been very lucky in my time as a writer, Michael. So, I just gave it my all, just like anybody trying to accomplish anything does of worth and of value. So, and luckily the stars aligned. There's not to say there's not a lot of good writers. There is. There's awesome writers out there right now who have not been published. The recent boom discovery of which I've not read it, but on the science fiction side, Hugh Howley, who's written this Wool series, he was self-published and discovered through his Amazon books and now signed with Random House for six-figure plus deals. So it just goes to show that someone's going to be always out there telling you, no, this is not good. But you have to believe in yourself and push it forward. Because believe you me, even with Chance Fortune, I had a stack of rejection letters from here to Red Bank.
Oh, wow.
I knew deep down that it was good, and I kept trying. And we see now it's national reading list and found a major publisher. So
you're from South Pittsburgh. You live here in Chattanooga. How does that influence your writing? Because I don't think that's an actual setting you use, East Tennessee.
Not thus far. I am, as we speak, working on kind of an adult, you'd call it urban fantasy novel, which does, in fact, take place here, as protagonist will call it, the Nooga. So can't talk about it right now. It's all up in the air, but hopefully that'll come out, and good folks here in Chattanooga and the surrounding areas will find it and see it and enjoy it.
With books like Chance Fortune, are there any elements of life here in the South that you've been able to put in the book? Anything you grew up with that you try to put into your characters?
Absolutely. I mean, Chance Fortune and the Outlaws, the first book, actually starts out in a place called Smallville. Now, that is directly based on South Pittsburgh, the home that I grew up on in the town. Of course, sensationalized a bit. And what I do in the book, I start the reader out in a familiar setting of small-town America in Littleton, and I gradually, as Chance, he eventually starts journeying, getting closer to the superhero world, I start sprinkling in more fantastical and more fantastical stuff until, you know, so the reader isn't slapped in the face with it so much. And then, therefore, since it's grounded in reality, once they ultimately do take that fantastic journey, makes it more relatable and believable.
Your latest novel, The Long Silent Night, it works just fine as a standalone novel, but the characters are very compelling. I could easily see a series. Do you have any plans for more books with Jack Frost?
I absolutely do. And the tentative title for the next book will be The Big Freeze. And I can't say more about it right now, Michael. I'm sure you understand. So
you've been doing something. You're giving some of the proceeds of your books to various worthy causes.
Absolutely. I've been privileged to be able to get to do this at the level I do it at, and this is a way to give back for specifically The Long Silent Night. I'll be giving all proceeds I received this year and in 2013 to the Children's Home Chambliss Shelter, which do a lot of good work with young kids, specifically foster care. And my wife, my wonderful wife, who's my rock, my love, who I couldn't do half the things I do without, serves on the board of directors for the Pro Raybona Daycare in town, which the Chambliss Shelter helps out. And also with the audio version of the Chance Fortune series, the first book, Outlaws, I'm also donating this year's proceeds to the Hamilton County's Read 20 program, which is a organization which promotes children's literacy in our area. And good folks over there with Shuley Elliott, you've probably seen the Read 20 Mobile out and about. They do a lot of good work, and it's a cause I believe in wholeheartedly. And on something that's a little farther away, another recent book I've had out, Dragon Island, which kind of is my love letter to Godzilla movies, if you will.
Oh, wow.
I'm giving 10% of the proceeds I received from that to the Japanese Red Cross Society via the American Red Cross. So I've been blessed, so I think it's only fair that I try to do a little bit to give back.
Your latest novel, The Long Silent Night, it's definitely a book people would want to read in December around the holidays. How can people find it?
Right now, The Long Silent Night is an ebook, and the audio version will be releasing from audible.com virtually any day now. The paperback version of The Long Silent Night probably will come out about this time next year. But right now, they can purchase the ebook at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, Smashwords, all the usual ebook online outlets.
And how can people find you online?
They can visit my website, www.shaneberryhill.com. And I also love to interact with friends and fans on Facebook and Twitter.
Great. Thank you very much.
No problem, Michael. It's a pleasure to be here, my friend.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows.